sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll enjoy the best of Arch Obler with Arch Obler's Plays. But first, on the lighter side, let's spend some time with Burns and Allen. George Burns and Gracie Allen were a pioneering radio act, the pair opening at the Palace Hotel on a bill with Eddie Cantor and Georgie Jessel. Cantor, impressed by Gracie's wit, asked her to appear in his Sunday night NBC program. She created a minor sensation and was booked, this time with her husband, into Rudy Valley's Fleischman Hour. By 1932, Burns and Allen were signed by CBS for their own radio program. By 38, George Burns and Gracie Allen were among the most established performers on the air. By 1945, Burns and Allen had jumped networks yet once again, taking over NBC's Maxwell House Coffee Time. Their final jump back to CBS came in 1949 with their last full season on radio. By October of 1950, George Burns and Gracie Allen had made the move to television. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with the Burns and Allen Show and special guest star Dorothy L'Amour from February of 1944. Another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Well, hello. Come right in. Oh, George, we've got company.
This is Bill Goodwin speaking for Lever Brothers, makers of Swan, the new white floating soap that's pure as fine Castiles. Well, it's Tuesday night again, time for another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, our guest, Dorothy L'Amour, with Jimmy Cash and Felix Mills and his orchestra. And now, meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. Well, tonight it is my sad duty to make an announcement that will plunge the music world into deepest gloom. Sugar Throat Burns will sing no more. It seems his feelings were hurt last week, and he's still sulking, despite all the efforts of Mrs. Sugar Throat.
Aw, cheer up, George. Just because Mr. DeMille didn't want you to sing in his pictures doesn't mean that you aren't great.
He laughed at my voice.
Aw, boy. What does Cecil B. DeMille know about making pictures, anyway?
I'd rather not talk about it.
Oh, but darling, I can't stand to see you like this. Those big, soft, wet brown eyes are glazed with pain. Like a disappointed cow.
Won't do any good talking to me, Gracie. I'll never sing again.
Oh, George, don't say that. I know you've been hurt, cruelly hurt, but that happens in Hollywood. Into each life a little rain must fall. That happens in Hollywood, too.
I told all my friends I'm going to be in DeMille's picture, and then he laughed at my voice.
Oh.
Well, don't you worry, dear. All the movie studios will be after you. With Gene Autry and the Army, I'll bet Republic will want you to be their new singing cowboy.
Oh, sure.
Oh, you'd look magnificent on a horse, singing a cowboy song. I can just see the fade out of the picture. As the horse trots off into the sunset, the last thing we see is your face as you sing.
Well, I'm not going to sing anymore.
Oh, but you're so convincing with those Western songs. Remember at Ronnie Regan's party when you sang Give Me My Boots and Saddle? Ronnie said it was all he could do to keep from giving you a boot.
Very flattered.
Why, this whole town will be after you. As a matter of fact, there was a scout here just this morning asking for you.
Really?
Yeah. He wants you to help his troop collect papers.
I'm going down to the cigar store.
George, please, before you go, unlock those little silver tonsils and give me just one glorious burst of melody. Don't hum, sing.
That was the door buzzer.
Oh, it's probably Mrs. Bundy, the cleaning woman. Come in. Hello, Mrs. Bundy.
Hello, Mrs. Burns. Hello, Mr. Burns.
Goodbye.
My goodness, if the rest of your house looks as bad as your husband, I'm going to have a job straightening it up today.
Oh, Mrs. Bundy, George has sworn never to sing again.
My, how'd you get him to promise that?
Well, I didn't want him to do it. He did it because he's all hurt and disillusioned. And I've just got to think of some way to snap him out of it.
Well, whenever I feel myself slipping, I pull myself together with numerology.
Oh, sounds like a girdle.
Oh, no. Lots of movie stars use numerology. Why, Dorothy L'Amour uses it all the time.
Oh, then it can't be a girdle.
I should say not. Numerology controls our destinies. Your name tells you what number you vibrate to. You see, we all vibrate to certain numbers.
Yeah, that's true. I'm getting so I shake all over when I hear Mercy Dose.
Not musical numbers, Mrs. Burns. Real numbers. The letters in your name tell you what number you are. Now, take my name, Fanny Bundy. I'm a 9. Bundy's a 3 and Fanny's a 6.
Oh, really? You know, I would have guessed you were at least an 18.
Numerology is fascinating. Like I said, Dorothy L'Amour won't make a move without it. Right now, she's searching frantically for a leading man who's the number 7.
Oh, a number 7 scares?
Well, number 7s who sing are. It's a musical picture.
Oh, is that so? Mm-hmm. Mrs. Bundy, is my husband by any chance the number 7?
Well, let's see. George is 3 and Burns is 2. No, he's number 5.
Oh. Well, isn't there some way I could stretch him into a 7?
Well, the letter K is 2. That would make him a 7.
Really? Well, Mrs. Bundy, it looks like Dorothy L'Amour has found her number 7, and George K. Burns will sing again. Come in. Oh, hello, Bill.
Well, hiya, girls. What's a good word?
Numerology.
Numerology?
Yes, George is a number 7.
He is?
Uh-huh. And that makes Dorothy L'Amour vibrate to him.
Well, lucky George. I'm not sure I understand, Gracie.
Well, Dorothy L'Amour is practically on her knees begging for a 7.
Oh, well, that I understand. Been in that same spot many times myself.
Oh. Do you vibrate to 7?
Well, 7 or 11. Of course, I also vibrate to 4.
You do?
Oh, sure. Every time I think of Swan being 4 soaps in 1, I vibrate with joy.
Oh, Bill, you and your 4 soaps in 1.
There I go, see? Just can't help myself, Grace. You see, Swan's the white floating soap that's wonderful for your hands and face, bathing the baby for dishes and for light laundry. It's 4 swell soaps in 1, a great wartime buy.
Well, anyway, Bill, thanks to numerology, George is going to make a picture with Dorothy L'Amour.
Well, got himself a candid camera, huh?
Oh, no. No, I mean he's going to act with her.
Oh.
Sing with her. Make love to her. Oh, my goodness. Oh, make love to her. Bill, I may get vibrated right out of a husband.
Oh, Gracie, George won't fall for Dottie.
Well, maybe not, but can Dottie resist George? She's only human, you know.
Gracie, she'd only go for a pan like George's if it held dishes and Swan suds. Well, you know that women are crazy about Swan for dishes. Those hardworking Swan suds make short work of dishwashing. And at the same time, Swan is so mild and gentle, it helps keep your hands from getting rough and red.
Oh, I don't know, Bill. Beautiful girls have fallen for George before.
Who?
Me.
I should have guessed.
And I'm not too sure I can trust George either. Dorothy L'Amour is pretty alluring.
Well, Dorothy L'Amour has nothing on you, Gracie.
No, she hasn't got much on herself either. That's what worries me.
I say what you mean. Tonight, our young tenor, Jimmy Cash, sings the romantic ballad, The Music Stops. Jimmy? Gracie has found out that Dorothy L'Amour, who believes in numerology, is searching desperately for a singing leading man who vibrates to the number 7. So Gracie has altered George's vibrations and is now calling on the glamorous Miss L'Amour.
Dorothy, you're at Paramount, aren't you?
Yes.
Would you do me a favor?
Why, of course, Gracie.
Would you ask Paulette Goddard and Veronica Lake to please stop fighting over my husband?
Gracie, I didn't know your husband was at Paramount.
Oh, they don't let him walk around in the open.
No?
No, they're afraid Loretta Young might kidnap him. You see, my husband is so frightfully handsome.
Really? Well, whatever happened to your first husband, George Burns?
Same one. I'm still married to George Burns.
Well, I must not remember George very well. Isn't he kind of short with a little pot tummy?
Oh, no. You're thinking of Cary Grant.
Well, what does George look like?
And he has a beautiful singing voice, too.
He sings?
Like a nightingale. You know how the girls swoon when Frank Sinatra sings?
Yes.
Well, when George sings, Frank Sinatra swoons.
That shouldn't take much.
Well, of course, George's main attraction is that he's a number 7. But, of course, you wouldn't understand that. It's numerology.
Wait a minute. Number 7? George is a number 7?
So where do you get your hair done, Dorothy?
Never mind about my hair. Gracie, that figure... It's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yours is kind of pretty, too.
No. I mean about George being a number 7. Gracie, I must have him.
Dorothy, please.
I must have him for my picture. Where can I find him?
Well, right now he's home hiding from Claudette Colbert.
George is just the man I'm looking for. He's handsome, he sings, and above all, he's a number 7. Wait a minute. According to numerology, George Burns would be a number 5.
George K. Burns?
Oh, what's his middle name?
Kansas City.
Kansas City?
Yeah, he was born there.
Oh. Oh, I see. He was named after Kansas City.
Yes, yeah, shortly after.
Gracie, why don't I go home with you right now and talk to George? I can't wait to see if he's as handsome as you say.
Well, why not arrange the whole thing on the phone?
On the phone?
Well, yes, and then you can see him when you start shooting the picture. Here's our phone number. You can call him.
But why can't I see him?
Well, the poor boy is so exhausted from being chased by all those women, especially today. You see, today Rosalind Russell chased him, and she has such long legs. So, goodbye, Dorothy.
Well, I can't let a number 7 get away from me.
Hello?
Hello, is this George Burns?
Yes.
This is Dorothy L'Amour.
Who?
Dorothy L'Amour. Look, George, would you please, please be my new leading man?
Who'd you say this was?
Dorothy L'Amour.
Gracie, will you stop with this nonsense?
This isn't Gracie, it's Dorothy. Listen, George, you're a number 7, and I'm in tune with your vibrations.
You're also a little bit nuts, aren't you?
George, I'm going to sing at the Hollywood Canteen tonight. Would you make it a duet with me? Then, maybe I can change your mind.
Oh, sure, sure. Shall I wear a sarong?
You still don't believe it's me, do you?
No.
Well, you wait there. I'll come right over.
Yeah, do that. Come in.
Well, I'll be darned. It is Dorothy L'Amour.
Quick, where's Mr. Burns?
I'm Mr. Burns.
Oh, how do you do? I'd like to see your son, George.
I'm George Burns.
Oh, no, I want the George Burns who's married to Gracie.
That was me you talked to on the phone, Dorothy. And I'll be glad to be your new leading man and sing at the canteen with you tonight.
Oh, hello, Dorothy, what are you doing here?
I'm beginning to wonder. Gracie, I'd like to speak to you alone, please.
You would? Excuse us, dear.
Now, Gracie.
Yeah, where do you get your hair done, Dorothy?
Never mind that. There's something rotten in Denmark.
Well, I should think so, with all those Nazis there.
You know what I mean. And now that I've seen George, the whole deal's off, Gracie. No canteen and no picture.
But, Dorothy, he's a 7. If you don't use them, you'll have to give up numerology.
And if I do, I'll have to give up pictures. Goodbye, Gracie.
Time for Felix Mills and the orchestra and the old favorite, Swinging Down the Lane.
Thank you.
Well, George doesn't know that Dorothy L'Amour has changed her mind about singing with him, and he is now at the canteen rehearsing their duet. Outside his dressing room door stands a worried Gracie. She is seeking advice from a handsome man, a man who is both wise and understanding, despite his extreme youth and good looks.
What shall I do, Bill?
Well, gee, I don't know, Gracie. Why not just walk in and tell him?
Oh, no, I can't do that. You see, George is not like other men. He's sensitive and high-strung, like a fine pedigreed Pekingese.
Well, there is a resemblance, yes. To a Pekingese, I think.
The shock might make him do something drastic. Why, he's liable to run right down to the ocean and throw himself on the beach and cry all night.
We wouldn't want that to happen.
No, and he's so happy now. I just can't stand to tell him. It would break his poor little heart.
Yeah, I guess it will.
Oh, just think of George. His head hanging, his shoulders drooping, his chest sagging, his footsteps heavy as lead.
Yeah, and then think of him after he hears the bad news.
Oh, I know, Bill.
What?
Maybe I can talk George out of working with Dorothy.
Yeah?
That'll save his pride.
Well, you think you can do it, Gracie?
Well, I can try. You wait here.
The night is young, the skies are clear. And if you want to go walking, dear, it's delightful, it's delicious.
Hello,
dear.
Gee, my voice sounds richer and deeper than ever tonight. I can hardly believe it's me singing unless I look in the mirror and see my mouth open.
Well, close it and come on home.
But I haven't done my duet with Dorothy yet. Now go away and let me rehearse.
The night is young, the skies
see? I'm already the forgotten woman.
You're the what?
The forgotten woman. The wife of a big star who goes up and up and up while his forgotten wife goes down and down and down.
Look, Gracie.
Oh, your public will take you away from me. Lonesomeness will drive me down and down until I'm just a shell. A beautiful husk who's lost her corn.
Listen, dear.
And you'll go up and up and up, and I'll go down and down and down.
Honey,
I'll sink lower and lower and become coarser and coarser until I reach the gutter.
Oh, honey, you could never do that.
Gutter butt, Mac.
Gracie, what's eating you?
Oh, all right. You may as well know the truth. I'm afraid that you and Dorothy will fall madly in love.
That's silly.
How is it? Listen, George, when the lighted match of her charm is dropped into the gas tank of your personality, there's got to be an explosion.
This is ridiculous. Now run along and let me rehearse.
You won't come home with me?
No.
Very well, dear.
Oh. Any luck, Gracie?
Oh, no. We've got to get Dorothy to change her mind. Bill, do you think you would get any place with Dorothy L'Amour?
Well, it'll be fun trying.
Good. Now, there's her dressing room. See what you can persuade her to do.
Yeah, man.
Come in.
Excuse me, Miss L'Amour. Gracie wants me to talk to you about George.
Nothing doing. I found out that George isn't a number 7 at all. He faked the middle initial K just to make him a 7.
What a dirty trick.
Yes. Say, you're kind of handsome. What's your name?
Bill K. Goodwin.
Bill K. Goodwin.
Uh-huh.
Why, you're a real number 7.
Well, my friends call me Sev for short.
You might do as the lead in the Fosse Island picture. Can you act?
Can I act? Dottie, get a load of this.
Oh, oonga boonga.
You, Dottie. Me, Bill. Me give you big bar swan soap.
What's that supposed to be? Pigeon English?
No, that's swan English, Dottie. You see, swan, the white floating soap, is 4 soaps in 1. The soap for your hands and face, for bathing the baby, and for dishes and light laundry. 4 swell soaps in 1.
You want to be my leading man or my laundry man?
Huh? Oh, your leading man, Dottie. And what a picture it'll be.
Just picture us in the quiet of the tropical night, listening to the gurgle and splash of the water.
We're on the beach.
No, we're bathing the baby with Swan.
Where did that come from?
The Swan? Oh, I brought that with me. Swan's great for bathing babies. It's as pure as fine Castile's, and a baby's soap must be mild. Swan's as mild and gentle as a baby's kiss. And if Swan's that good, well, it must be terrific.
You're nutty. But you're cute. Say, by the way, can you sing?
Oh, can I sing, Dottie? Just picture me in a leopard skin, will you? Singing the Hawaiian war chant. Take a cake of swan and break a cake of swan in two. Half you put into the bathroom for your hands and face, and the other half in your kitchen sink. Oh, Mama, he leave her brothers. Oh, wait, hey, oh.
Hey, cut it out. Cut
What's
it out.
Matter? What's the matter, Dottie?
Well, you're supposed to be my tropical lover, and all you talk about is swan. Do I remind you of a swan or something?
Well, you both have a beautiful neck.
Well, it looks like that's more than we're going to have.
Oh. Well, let's make up for lost time. Come here, Dottie.
Anything?
That I did.
Well, Dorothy, are you going to sing the duet with George?
Sure, Gracie. I'll do it for you.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for such a cute leading man.
Oh, is he going to be your leading man?
Sure. He's a little wolfish, but he's cute.
Wolfish?
And how? We hadn't been alone 2 minutes till he kissed me.
Oh, my goodness. I was afraid this might happen.
What?
Oh, your match has dropped into his gas tank. Oh, excuse me, Dorothy. Oh, dear, which will it be, a career for George or a husband for me? Oh, a husband for me. I'll kick his career right out the window.
The night is young, the stars are clear.
George, do you still insist on singing that duet with Dorothy?
Certainly.
Oh, well, all right. Let me have that arrangement you're going to do. I want to make a few changes in it.
Okay, here, but hurry. It's almost time for the number.
Oh, thank you, boys. It's nice to be at the canteen again. And now I'd like to introduce a new singing team, Dorothy Lamour and Sugarthroat Burns. They will sing a song which has just been especially arranged by me.
The night is young, the skies are clear, and if you want to go walking, dear, it's delightful,
it's
delicious,
it's
lovely. I understand the reason why you're sentimental, cause so am I.
It's
delightful,
it's
delicious,
it's
lovely. You can tell at a glance what a swell night this is for romance. You can hear dear Mother Nature murmuring low.
Oh.
Let yourself go so free, my chickadee. And when I kiss you, just say to me,
it's
delightful,
it's
delicious,
it's
delectable,
it's
delirious,
it's
dilemma,
it's
limit,
it's
deluxe,
it's
de-lovely.
Gracie, what did you do to me? That'll finish my career.
Yeah, I know. Come along, dear. You're my gas tank, and we'll use my matches.
I'm confused.
George and Gracie will be right back, so I've only a few seconds to remind you that whether you're a pin-up girl or a grandmother, your complexion deserves the purest, mildest soap that money can buy. You want a soap that's pure as fine Castile's? You want Swan. You want a soap that's so mild it's kind to even a baby's tender skin? Again, you want Swan. Yes, and you want a soap that'll give you a thick, rich lather at the touch of a hand. So, sister, you really want Swan. And when you get Swan, remember, it's also great for the baby and perfect for dishes and light laundry. So put your wartime pennies on a four-time winner, the new white floating soap, Swan. Now here again are George and Gracie.
Well, Gracie, I've got a big thrill for you.
Yeah, what is it?
Next week, our guest star will be Alan Ladd.
Oh. Really?
Well, aren't you thrilled? Well, gee, Gracie, he thrills all the women.
Well, dear, they're not married to you.
Oh, good night.
Our guest tonight, Dorothy Lamour, will be seen shortly in the Paramount picture and The Angels Sing. The makers of Swan, the new wide floating soap, join George and Gracie, inviting you to tune into your Columbia station again next Tuesday, same time. Our guest, Alan Ladd. The following week, Paul Lucas. Remember, George Burns, Gracie Allen, CBS, next Tuesday night. Now, till next Tuesday, this is Bill Goodwin saying, well, I, Swan, how about you? This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From February of 1944, it's been The Burns and Allen Show, with special guest star, Dorothy Lamour. In a moment, Arch Obler's plays and a gallery of big shots as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
Learn more about the golden age of radio at radioyesteryear.org. That's radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Arch Obler's plays was a series of original dramas by the medium's Wonder Boy. The late 1930s had been a golden age of experimental drama on radio. NBC had its long-running Radio Guild and, in March of 1939, added Obler's plays. Obler, who grew up in Chicago, one of the busiest centers of radio drama in the 1930s. After his initial success at NBC, Obler began writing mini-dramas for the network's Grand Hotel and went from there to the Rudy Valley program, where he landed in 1936 at an eerie little midnight program called Lights Out. The show ran the gamut from fantasy to tragedy, the same kind of horror that he had done on Lights Out. Some of the stars included the likes of Bette Davis, Edmund O'Brien, Frank Lovejoy, James Cagney, and others. Plays closed in March of 1940, but in April of 1945, it turned up again on Mutual with a new version of Plays. Plays ran through the summer on Mutual and ended in October of 1945. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with Arch Obler's Plays and A Gallery of Big Shots from July of 1945, another classic radio program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Mutual presents Arch Obler's Plays. In this series, we hope to bring you dramas full of the excitement and the meaning of plays told in relation to the expanding world we live in. Tonight, inspired by a suggestion from GI friend Elliot Lewis, Arch Obler presents A Gallery of Big Shots. Feminine big shots. I hasten to speak to the women in my audience. Dear ladies, believe me, I like you very much, so that if anything in what follows resembles dislike of the fair sex, the resemblance is absolutely accidental. Because these women we are going to speak about are of a special sort.
Bragging, swaggering, trumpeting, strutting, magniloquent.
Quite, thank heavens, unlike you. For these women are big shots.
A gallery of big shots. Portrait number one, Miss Beautiful.
I just love singing her music, don't you, Mr. Leahy?
Yeah. Yeah, sure do.
Is that Eddie who just came in?
Eddie? Eddie who?
Eddie Sullivan.
Oh.
He's just the sweetest. At Madison Square Garden, one of those huge benefits, he had them throw the spotlight right down on little me and Walter W.
Mitchell?
As far as I'm concerned, he'll go unmentionable. The nerve. You know what he said about me?
No. No, I'm sorry, I don't.
He said that, as far as he was concerned, all the Atlantic City bathing contest winners could be laid end to end, and it wouldn't make much difference. Can you imagine saying a thing like that?
No. I can't.
Just because a girl has ability enough to win a competition is no reason to talk about it that way, now, is it?
No. Of course not. Another drink?
No. No one is my limit. I'll just sit and toy with my glass the rest of the evening.
Is that a fact?
Yes. Max told me.
Max who?
Max Factor, somebody. Told me the alcohol has a sort of effect on the skin pores, causing them to constrict or expand. There's something that's very negative. He said that. I just toy with one drink all night.
Sure. Sure. Anyone as beautiful as you are has got to sort of watch out.
Now that, Mr. Leahy, was a very profound thing you just said.
Was it?
It was, indeed. Well, I've got to treat my face and my figure as if it belonged to somebody else.
Yeah.
Why, when I see my face on the cover of Life magazine, the Red Book, I'm as critique, as they say, about how I look as if it was somebody else. Why, if it's a single hair out of place, I simply can't eat for at least 24 hours.
You don't say. Have another drink? Oh, I beg your pardon.
That's perfectly all right. Like a certain producer whose name will go unmentionable once said, he said, Moselle, a face and a body like yours is a holy trust to be held like a chalice. You understand the assimilation, don't you, Mr. Leahy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure you did. Well, it's a great responsibility, Mr. Leahy. Last year, I was on 10 covers and over 15 billboards, not counting the subway, when I was Miss Pure Gold Beer of 1944. So you might say my face is public property. I think that everybody who's in the public eye has a great responsibility, just as much as if they were...
I guess they're going to start the floor show.
Oh, yes. Did you know I studied voice 1 week?
You don't say.
Greetings and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Before we begin our very small entertainment, may I introduce a few celebrities with us tonight?
Leahy, did you give the head waiter the note I gave you?
Oh, sure, Moselle, sure.
First, I see a very beautiful lady, a famous beauty contest winner and cover girl. May we pay reverence to beauty. The spotlight on Mosel.
Thank you. Thank you. You see what I mean, Mr. Leahy? It's a great responsibility.
A gallery of big shots. Portrait number 2. Executive, Warcrop.
Miss Gatsky, Miss Gatsky, please cease work, Miss Gatsky.
Sorry.
Girls, I have a very important announcement to make. As you all know, ever since our Mr. Peterson, or should we say Corporal Peterson, was called to the colors of our country to serve in the armed forces, this department has been without a leader, so to speak. Because, as you all know, my duties are upstairs with posting and billing, not here with customer mail. Girls, your new supervisor, Miss Virginia Clinton. Girls, Miss Clinton.
Thank you, girls. Thank you. I want you to know that I consider it a great honor and privilege, having been appointed to be your supervisor. I, too, began as a typist in the Chicago branch of this organization and worked my way up through the ranks, so to speak. So believe me, I know your problems, and I'm thoroughly sympathetic to them. I'm going to depend on each and every one of you for suggestions. What you will want, I will want.
Not now, dear.
May I state first that in times such as these, even as some fight on the war front, our typewriters and shorthand books are the weapons with which we go out and conquer. I am sorry one of you saw fit to laugh at that statement. It definitely shows an improper, subversive attitude. From my experience in our Chicago plant, I'm to make the following recommendations to Mr. Eppes, our vice president in charge. First, each of you girls will be divided. That is to say, into groups of four, which will be called a squad. Each squad shall have appointed to it a fifth girl, who will be the squadron leader, and who will be responsible for the output of said squad. These squadron leaders will be chosen by your supervisor on the basis of executive ability and company loyalty, and will be given the title of sergeant. Every two squads will be part of a platoon, which in turn will be in charge of a girl chosen on the basis of executive ability, company loyalty, and will be known as a lieutenant. If you please, girls. The sergeant's duties will be as follows. 1, to see that typewriters are kept in perfect order and covered at the close of the business day. The lieutenant's duties will be as follows. 1, to see that the sergeants properly execute their offices, and 2, to bring into play their own personal initiative when crises, such as crises, occur, And three, to correct the, shall we say, unbusinesslike apparel certain of you girls are now wearing. There is one regulation, however, which I wish to be put in force at once. From my previous experience in our Chicago plant, I am strongly of the opinion, and I'm sure you will concur with me, that entirely too much time is being spent off the floor. Beginning at once, rest periods will be limited to 5 minutes in each hour. If any emergencies occur, permission to leave your desk must be obtained from me. Well, has anyone anything they wish to state openly?
I'll get, sir.
Who said that? Who said that? You will step forward. How dare you? Step forward.
A gallery of big shots. Portrait number 3. Hired girl.
Maybelle, can I come in, please? It's Louise. Maybelle, I know you're in there. I just want to talk to you. Okay, I'm coming in. Gee, Maybelle, you might have asked me to come in. Jeepers, we're still friends. Well, are you just going to sit there? Aren't you going to say anything?
Got nothing to say.
Jeepers, Maybelle, don't be a character. After all, I didn't do anything.
Got nothing to say.
Maybelle, you just can't leave us. You just can't. Why, you're one of the family. Yeah, it's my party next party. What'll I do if you don't... Who in the world is that?
Mabel, are you in...
Small stuff. What are you doing here?
What do you think?
How you doing?
Not so good.
Okay, Hammerhead, find the nearest exit and let a man take over.
Where'll I find one?
Okay, go on, go on. I ain't woofing. Bull, small fry.
All right, Wonder Man. I hope you do better than I did. You better.
Well, hiya, Maybelle. You won't talk, huh? Well, that's okay. I like my women strong and silent. Hey, all this stuff about your quitting, that's just scuttlebutt, huh?
Got nothing to say.
Oh, come on. Gosh, whatever it is, I can straighten it out. Okay, give.
Gave him a notice.
Hey, now, wait a minute, Maybelle. Listen, we can't get along without you. Holy cat, you're the best cook. Your pies. Well, gosh, Maybelle, we can't. You just can't walk out on us like this. Jeepers, aren't you going to say anything?
Got nothing to say.
Oh, Maybelle, gee. There's somebody knocking. Okay, I'll see who it is. Gosh, Pop.
Well, what are you doing here?
Well, I just came up to talk to her.
Oh, any luck?
Oh, gosh, no. Dad, you just got to...
All right.
Okay.
Well, Maybelle. Mind if I talk to you a bit?
Got nothing to say.
Well, I've got a great deal to say. I think all this is nonsense. You've got a good home here, good salary. We like you. There's no logical reason for any change.
Gave him a notice.
Yes, I know, but look, Maybelle. Ever since the war, there have been... Well, you might say there's been a procession of servants in this house. None of them, not one, has come up to even the lowest standards of the sort of help. Maybelle, believe me. I was beginning to think that all potatoes were carbonated and that soup was made out of dishwater. But you, Maybelle, you've given me new hope. I was beginning to think, no, I was positive, that you were going to be with us, well, at least for the duration. And now to come home and find that you're talking about leaving, to have to go through... No, I couldn't endure it again. $10 more a month. No, make it 20. Do you hear that, Maybelle? I'm going to raise your salary $20 a month.
Gave him my notice.
All right. The best of us can make mistakes and change our minds.
You say I made a mistake.
No, I didn't mean that you made a mistake. I was speaking in generalities. Maybelle, listen. I apologize for my wife. I don't know what happened. I can't believe that she... I mean, all right, whatever it was. She was in the wrong and you were in the right, and I apologize for it. You hear that, Maybelle? I'm apologizing.
Mrs. Martin.
Sure, but I'm apologizing for her. It's the same thing.
No.
But I won't have Alice Seligare or no Seligare. There are limits. I mean to have to... Maybelle, 30 a month. $30 a month. And every other Wednesday off, too. I can arrange that between the kids and myself. We can do the work. $30 a month, your regular time off, and Wednesdays. Isn't that wonderful, Maybelle?
Wednesdays?
Yes.
$30 a month more?
Yes, of course.
The missus has taken it all back?
Whatever it was, absolutely. Well, Maybelle, what's the happy word?
Well, Mr. Martin,
Yes?
I'll think it over.
A Gallery of Big Shots. Portrait number 4, Chanteuse.
Shut that door. Shut the door. Will somebody shut that broken door?
Max, we can talk.
Please, Felice.
We can talk, Max. We can talk about when you were a baby.
Oh, now, Felice.
Where were you a baby, Max? Was the Nishni Novgorod or Schnippeshik?
Oh, no, Felice.
Or was it Delancey Street under a wet rock? Follow the Herald and be said, oh, they're a nice little dance team just starting out. 10 curtain calls, you hear? 10 curtain calls.
Felice, a voice.
The devil with my voice. You get them off the bill. Get them off.
But, Felice.
What do you mean you can't do it? What do you think I pay you 10% for? To smoke my cigarettes and drink my liquor?
Oh,
so that's it. You're managing them, are you?
Oh, Felice.
Let's go. But don't think that's all.
Oh, no, Felice.
Who won the Radio Digest poll of the outstanding chanteurs of 1945? I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, don't talk so much. You fired that Houston Joe Mark.
Oh, Felice.
Press agent. Press agent. The only thing he can press is his hands. Up at 5 o'clock in the morning to break a rootin' bottle over the back of a ship.
But, Felice.
But if the ship, oh, no, he turns it out to be a oil tanker. Me, Felice, launch a rootin' oil tanker. And at the same time, Hildegard launches a cruiser. I won't be belittled. I won't. I want a battleship.
Felice, listen.
Why, you rootin' little squirt. How dare you walk in here without knocking? What do you think this is, a spoon? I ought to...
Felice, listen, they're playing your cue.
What? Oh, my gosh. About Lily, my handkerchief. My gosh, I can't see without my handkerchief, Lily!
Felice, you fired Lily in an hour ago.
Oh, that's a lie. Go get her back! What's that? George!
You're gone. You're on, Felice.
All the rooks. I do, jerks.
Thank you, my dear people. Thank you. How nice of you to come visit me in my little corporate room. And look at all the dear servicemen. Look at the dear little sailor. Hello, you sweet little seniors. There's something about the sailor. Oh, stay right there, handsome. I have an organ for you because tonight the Navy is close to my heart. Yes, this morning, bright and early, I was visiting the Navy. Yes, this morning, I was on an official duty for the Navy. Our dear, wonderful Navy. A hand for the dear, wonderful Navy. Yes, this morning, your little Felice gave birth to, oh, what am I saying? Christened with her own little hand, a beautiful, beautiful Navy ship. So now for the Navy and all of you dear friends, I sing the little song which I first introduced. George, dear.
All of a sudden my heart sings when I remember little things, the way you dance and hold me tight, the way you kiss and say goodnight. Each of us in this time of war must love each other more and more. The love I bear for humanity, it is my heart. It is all of me.
A Gallery of Big Shots. Portrait number 5, Beautician.
Well, if it isn't our Mrs. Cragen, and how are you?
How do you do, Miss Westland? If my hair ever dries, I'll be very well myself.
Oh, patience, my dear Mrs. Cragen, patience. Rome wasn't built in a day, and our salon can't do justice to your coiffure in less than 2 hours. Als est clair in autumn. See you later.
Ah, good morning, Mrs. Nicholas. And what are we doing to you this morning?
having one of our Lorraine oil shampoos. Excellent.
The dust in the air. I tell you, something must be done about the dust in the air. And don't you think so?
Of course.
Cecily, I believe this war has something to do with it. All the excitement that's bound to raise dust. Irene.
Yes, Miss Lesland?
Give dear Mrs. Nicholas an extra egg on her hair this morning. Shortages or no, we do want her to look lovely and a credit to our cellar. Quickly, get the egg, quickly. Bis dat, die Kita da. See you later.
Hello?
Hello? Irene, I thought you told me there was a telephone call.
There was, I told
But there's no one. Hello? Hello? Yes. Yes, this is Miss Westland. Who? Oh, yes, Mrs. Gillum. Yes, this is Miss Westland. Is there something wanted? Oh, an appointment. Really? I'm sorry, I don't believe that's possible. No, not tomorrow. No, nor Saturday. My dear Mrs. Gillum, it isn't a question of whether it's today or tomorrow or next week. I'm just afraid we're all booked up. No, there's nothing strange about it. Appointments are available only to those who keep their appointments. Yes, how nice of you to remember. You did indeed. Called out of town. I do not feel that is a proper excuse. You know about our 24-hour cancellation rule. Your son. Oh, yes, the lieutenant. He came back where? Convalescent hospital. The army said. That's very nice, Mrs. Gillum. But I consider this salon also part of the war activities. I say there is no greater morale builder than a good cold wave. Appointments must be kept. I'm so sorry.
A gallery of big shots. Portrait number 6, Bobby Soxer.
Quiet. Let us see.
Oh, yes, tell us, Punky.
Everything.
Well, I got on the bus, and the first thing I know.
Jeepers, we know you got on the bus.
And tell us what happened after.
Quiet, Ted. Let her talk.
My goodness, if every word I'm going to say, you're going to jump at me like that.
Oh, no, Pokey, we won't.
Oh, no. You better not. I mean, after all, if you
want
to hear.
Tell it any way you want to, Pokey.
Any way. All right, that's better. So I got on the bus, and the first thing I said to myself was, Pokey, there's no reason to be nervous. He may be great, but he's human. And the way it says, the greater they are, the humbler their souls. I kept saying that to myself all the time I was riding along. Well, pretty soon, here I was.
Where?
In a theater, you moron.
Oh, in the theater.
And there I was, and some big boon of a doorman tried to give me a brush off. But I drew myself up, and I said, he sent for me. And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, oh, yeah. And that got monotonous. So I pulled out the letter, and you should have seen his eyes. And then I was there. I knocked on the door. A man opened the door. No, of course not. It was his manager or something. He said, and what can I do for you, young lady? And I handed him the letter. And he read it. And he opened up the door. And I went in. And there I was.
Where?
His dressing room, too.
Oh.
And there he was.
Oh, bliss.
Oh, it's too desperate.
Well, tell us what happened.
Oh, yes, what happened. Will you be quiet? I said, hi, Frankie.
Well,
Jim. Then he said, hi.
And then?
Then? Somebody said, you're on, Mr. Sinatra. He said, goodbye. And I said, goodbye, Frankie.
Goodbye, Frankie. Golly, Pokey, you've lived.
A gallery of big shots. Final portrait. Commentator.
Will it be all right to set up the microphone here, Miss Compton?
Yes, anyway. Well, Rollins, what time do we go on the air?
In about 3 minutes, Miss Compton, are you safe?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, you're always right in there with the news breaks, aren't you, Miss Compton?
One does what one can.
Oh, you do better than that. We were having an argument back in the station. How many newspapers you win now, Miss Compton? How many?
Well, one does.
Oh, sure, I get it.
I should say 280 publications. Then, of course, there are the Sunday editions.
There she blows. Meetings come in order.
Yes.
It sure is something Wilson FDR would have liked to have seen. It sure is.
Yes, Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Take it in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Margaret Compton bringing you a special broadcast from the city of the Golden Gate. I'm speaking to you tonight from a broadcast booth overlooking the opening session of the United Nations Conference on... Forgive me, I can never remember names. I had a paper here. Oh, yes, the United Nations Conference on International Organizations. Right at this moment, a very dignified gentleman is addressing the assemblage. The matter of fact is, from my broadcasting booth, I'm looking right down at him. I believe at the moment he's talking about, yes, an international court of justice to decide legal disputes between nations in order to prevent wars. But as important as that may be, I'm sure you folks out there are much more interested in the behind-the-scenes stories. Now, on my way up here from Hollywood, I rode up with a certain producer who told me in complete confidence that Sheikh Ala bin something or other, who's the Arabian delegate to this conference, is a great fan of Anne Sheridan's. In fact, one wall of his tent is simply covered with pictures of the Warner Brothers star, who incidentally is not at this peace conference, but en route to Florida with a certain publicity man who is rumored to be her latest heart, and who incidentally started in the picture business publicizing that great classic, The Sheik, with Rudolph Valentino, which makes it a pretty small world after all. Right at this moment, the very distinguished gentleman at the podium is talking something about economic and social... Oh, we'll come back to that. Speaking of distinguished gentlemen, reminds me of a story told me in complete confidence by Charles Coburn. Charlie, or Jussie, as we know him, was at a party recently. As he sat there with his favorite orange juice in his hand, in came a certain little RKO starlet with one of those hats. And I mean one of those hats. Well, Chucky took one look at that hat and he... Oh, by the way, speaking of hats, last night I was at the top of the mark here in dear little old San Francisco, and Mrs. Anthony Eden, at least someone said she was Anthony Eden's wife, he's that tall, handsome Britisher all the girls are swooning about, and speaking of swooning, oh dear, I'm sorry, but my little announcer is signaling to me that the special 5 minutes from the great special San Francisco conference are up. So this is your confidential friend, Margaret Compton, speaking to you through my 280 columns and over 196 radio stations coast to coast with the latest, the most authentic, the most important personality stories of the day. Today, through special arrangement, directly from the United Nations Conference. That's all. Goodbye. Farewell. Fini.
Just heard Big Shot, a new play by Arch Obler. The original music was composed and conducted by Jack Meekin.
From July of 1945, it's been Arch Obler's plays with a gallery of big shots. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have today, but join us again next week at the same time, and why not invite a friend to listen to enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio. Remember radio? We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you, sodio, volio, dodio, do.
Preceding program copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.